All right, that better? All right, praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Jesus, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that we have heard so much about your goodness already today via testimony. And so we thank you for that. And we thank you for your word. And we've already seen the transforming power of your word.
Yes.
So just help us as we look at some more scripture today and teach us from your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So today we are going to Genesis chapter 4. We have completed the first three chapters of Genesis, and so we're going to go to Genesis chapter 4 today. And little review of Genesis 1 through 3, and a little testimony about where we're going with Genesis chapter 4, and a little bit of Genesis chapter 3. First of all, I am looking to go through 16 verses today, which is sort of a miracle for me in terms of Genesis, as we've been going verses by verses. But I'm doing that on purpose because there's a tendency to look at the first few verses of chapter 4 and focus a lot on some important things, such as the two brothers and also even their offerings. But sometimes when we do that, we miss something about the whole context of this. And what I want to share is that one of the things we've talked about in terms of Genesis, in the first two chapters of Genesis, is the incredible height of creation. Adam and Eve were created in the image and the likeness of God. Not 99%, not 95.5%. But we were created in the image and the likeness of God. And God does not lie. That kind of came up earlier today, and maybe earlier in the meeting. Book of Titus says, second verse, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. And so if God says that he created us in his image and his likeness, that's not untrue. That is true. And so sometimes what we forget in terms of the fall is not just in reference to how far we fell, but from the tremendous height from which we fell. Genesis chapter 3 and chapter 4 are tragedies on a huge scale. They're tragic. They're tragic on a huge, huge scale. And my testimony with this is in my working with Hebrew over the years, I guess it was 5 to 10 years ago, I was listening to this in Hebrew. And I have on my phone, sometimes I have Bible passages from the Hebrew. And my understanding of the Hebrew is pretty good in the first few chapters of Genesis, and I was listening to it before I went to bed. And as it went, and you know, I missed certain parts because I'm not fluent, but I got to chapter 3 and chapter 4, and the horror, the terribleness of what happens is so tragic. And it's tragic from the point of view of God's heart and God's longing for the human race. And so that's part of the reason I want to look at these first 16 verses as a section. And I want to draw that out a little bit. So we're going to look at these first 16 verses of Genesis chapter 4. I put it all on there. I'm wondering if somebody can read this section. Maybe have either one person to read all 16 or somebody to read the first 8 and somebody to read the second 8. Ron, why don't you read the first 8? Somebody else want to read the second 8? Todd? Okay.
Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. God
Okay, that's it. Verse 8. Yeah, go ahead, Todd.
Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out of this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." And the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold."
One more verse.
Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden.
Amen. Thank you, Ron, and thank you, Todd, for reading that. So I want to ask you a question. All right, take a look at the verse of the section, and what would you say these 16 verses are about? Not just a few of them, but all 16 of them. There's something going on in these 16 verses.
Consequences for actions.
Okay. Consequences for actions. Joe? Ooh, that's interesting. Okay, the repeat of the fall. The repeat of the fall.
Manifestation of
sin. Anybody else? Murder? All right.
It's like a type, a basic type of humanity. Like, there's everything in there, you know?
Ooh, good. Okay, Don?
The first human war.
Okay, but you know what? Yes, it is the first human war. But I'm gonna jump off of that, Don. All right. The first human war. But is that in all 16 verses? There's something else going on in these first 16 verses that nobody has mentioned. Yes, David. That's true. That is true. I'm still looking for something else in these 16 verses. That's in there, but it's the first part of it. Yes. Ooh, yes. Why do you say that? Ooh. Yes. Now, let's jump off of that a little bit. We jump from what Don said to what Ron has said. We're getting a little closer to something that is really occurring throughout all 16 verses. And let me give you a hint. The book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. Yes, Michael. That's true. I can't argue with that. Okay? I'm still looking for something else. Pride, yes, that's there. Okay, let's go back a little bit. Okay. Who are the main characters in these first 16 verses?
Okay, yes.
But who are, if you were writing this as a script, 16 verses. Okay, but if you had to put two first, who are the two main characters in all 16 verses?
God and God.
Cain and God. Let me say that again. These first 16 verses are a continual interaction between Cain and God. And who is Cain? Cain is the first son of man. This is the first prolonged interaction between a son of man and God. Yes, exactly. This is the first. See, God made us originally in his image. And everything that God made was good. End of the creation story says, every God looked at all of it and it was very good. Man now creates or reproduces. And the first reproduction of the human race is a murderer. We're talking tragic. We are talking tremendously tragic. Let me share why it's so tragic. I mean, partially, because I want to give you an example. I want to give you a historical example. One of the things that makes a tragedy, and if you think about stories or history or literature, one of the things that draws us into something that's tragic is often the understanding that it was avoidable. In other words, something got missed. It wasn't inevitable. Can I say that again?
Yeah.
And I have two historical examples. There's a lot of historical examples. Okay, but I want to give a couple of historical examples. I'll use the little older one first, which most of you probably aren't familiar with. But it has to do with the Second World War. One of the things, I tend to be a little bit of a history buff, especially the Second World War. And a lot of people don't know this, but one of the most tragic things about the Second World War happened in 1939, really in the first couple of months. You can say the Holocaust was obviously a tragedy. The war as a whole was a tragedy. But in September 1939, the war started when Hitler invaded Poland. What a lot of people don't know is that when Hitler showed his plan, first of all, Great Britain and France entered the war. They declared war on Germany after Germany invaded Poland. They kept their agreement with Poland. However, for the next month or two, all they did was kind of mobilize their forces and organize them. They didn't really attack Germany. The French had divisions lined up on the German border in defensive positions. When Hitler had shown his generals his plan to attack Poland, his plan was to move virtually all his divisions from the French border to the Polish border to make the war against Poland fast. He left basically a skeleton army bordering France. And his generals were terrified. They said, France can just walk in, basically, and attack us and take the whole country. You know what Hitler said to his generals? They won't attack. And he was right. Basically, had France actually invaded Germany when Germany invaded Poland, the French army pretty much could have walked to Berlin. And the war would have been over in 1939, and there wouldn't have been a Holocaust. That's why it's so tragic, is because it could have been avoided. Another one a little bit more recent, I think most of us, maybe the younger ones, don't remember, is when the Challenger blew up in the 1980s. The manufacturer of the booster rocket said it shouldn't be launched when it was freezing weather. Seven lives were lost because someone didn't listen to a warning. The whole fall, and chapter 4 as well, the repeat of the fall, was not inevitable. It could have been avoided. Now, obviously, we know that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But it doesn't mean that these things were inevitable. And that's why it's so tragic. And in chapter 4, an evidence of this, I think Ron said it, in terms of seeing this grace in this interaction between Cain and God. Because really, this section of Scripture, my view, and you can believe differently, but I think the text backs it up, is really about Cain and God. And actually, the rest of the chapter bears it out because it's the rest of Cain's lineage. That's not to dismiss Abel's significance or even the birth process in the first verse. But I didn't want to focus on that because I want you to see this interaction between God and the first son of man. See, we talked about this in Genesis chapter 3. Who hid from who? After Adam and Eve ate from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, who hid from who?
They hid from God.
Yes, they hid from God. God didn't go, oh, you sinned, I can't look at you.
That's right.
Can I say that again? They hid when they heard him. He was actually looking for them.
Yes.
See, we have this understanding. Theologically, it's true. Our sin separates us from God. Because we go, no, I don't want to see him. Not because he says, I don't want to see you.
That's right. Amen.
He goes looking for them. Now remember, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. The reason God put cherubim and hid the way to the tree of life was so that Adam and Eve and the rest of the human race wouldn't be locked in an unredeemed condition forever.
Right.
Remember the last week's, or 2 weeks' message was salvation in disguise.
Yes.
We think it's sort of a punishment, but no, because if they had eaten from the tree of life in their condition, we would have been eternally stuck in our unredeemed condition. So we left the garden. But who's interacting with Cain outside the garden? He went with them. Eden was God's garden, but he didn't abandon mankind. And so when we look at this passage, one of the things we see, and I want to look at three places of the interaction between God and Cain in specific. I didn't do a count, but if you count the number of times Cain, the word Cain shows up in this, I'm sure it's like 15 times. Because he's the main character. God and Cain are the two main characters. Obviously, God is the main character of all of the scriptures. So of these 16 verses, the human that's the main character is Cain. And there's this focus on this interaction between the two of them. When Cain has offered something, and I'm not going there today, and it's a worthwhile topic, and there's a lot of interesting things about it, but the scripture tells us that in some way, Abel's offering was received or gazed upon by God, and Cain's was not. I will say this, and I said this last night in the message, that what we do is what we believe. And everything else is religious jargon. In other words, what we really believe comes out in the way that we live. It really does. Believers, their lives begin to change, and other people see it. And so we actually see things about Cain, not just in terms of his offering, but even his response to God after Abel's offering is received. And even Cain's responses to God as they progress through chapter 4, we see something about Cain's heart. His heart's not in the right place. And you know, your heart, his heart wasn't in the wrong place in verse 16, but not in verse 4. There's something off with Cain's heart. So God receives Abel's offering or gift, but he doesn't quite so with Cain's. And Cain's upset about it. Now, I do have to tell you something else. It seems like, based upon verse 3, where it says in the process of time, or in the fullness of time, there's a hint here that this was not necessarily once that this happened, or that Abel and Cain were offering for the first time and didn't have any understanding. There's a sense that they had understanding. They had come to a point where they actually understood and knew. But Cain is upset, and God speaks to him. Even in Cain's sour attitude, God speaks to him. I don't know if you've ever had this happen. But you know, God speaks to us sometimes in our sour attitude. See, God is love. And he reaches down into our sour attitudes. And he did this with Cain. He reached down and he said, Cain, why are you so upset? And I see in these verses, not God saying to Cain, Cain, why are you so angry? I see God saying, Cain, why are you angry? This is love reaching to Cain. This is before Cain has slain his brother. There's something sour in Cain's heart, and God's reaching out to him.
Yes.
God, in a sense, warns him. He says, if you do well, it will be accepted. But otherwise, sin lies at your door. And here, it's interesting in this verse, this is actually the first time in the scripture that the word sin shows up. And it's interesting, Brother Michael made the comment earlier that this is like the repeat of the fall. And I think there's validity for in it, in that this is outside the garden, whereas Adam and Eve ate within the garden. This is actually the first time the word sin appears. And the result of this is murder. In other words, it just gets worse. You know, Adam and Eve, at least they spoke to God, and there was kind of this interaction between them that sort of gets resolved in God clothing them. Is that the right? That's not proper English. Putting clothing on them and then speaking to them, telling them what was going to happen, and even protecting them from the tree of life. In chapter 4, there really isn't a working out. There's God saying to Cain, and I think about it this way, but Cain, and Cain just goes further away. The next time is even after Cain slays his brother, you would think, uh-oh, now God's done with Cain. Isn't that the way we would think?
Yeah.
We would think, okay, he's a murderer. I'm done with him. I'm not even talking to him. See, brethren, we don't understand God.
No.
We think that God is like a man, but just bigger. He just isn't. He does not think like us.
Yes.
Remember, I shared a couple weeks ago, a inner understanding of sin is ungodlike thinking.
Yes.
It really is the problem. Is that we have ungodlike thinking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's not the way that God thinks. We would think, okay, Cain is murdered. I'm not talking to him anymore. So Cain slays his brother, and then he says, then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? And, you know, Cain lies. Am I my brother's keeper? And God says, and God still doesn't say, okay, now you've lied to me, I'm done with you. Still not. He says, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And then God speaks this punishment or this result to Cain, that now the earth is going to be further cursed, and it's not going to yield its strength to Cain, and that he's going to be a fugitive and a vagabond upon the earth. And Cain responds to that, and he says, I can't bear that. God doesn't go, tough luck, Charlie. God says, okay, I'll put a mark on you. And anybody who takes vengeance on you will be repaid sevenfold. Even in Cain's sentence, God is gracious. God is still interacting with this one. There's grace written all over this section of Scripture. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory. It's a horror story. It's tragic. But it seems like in each of these encounters between God and Cain, it's like God is still offering hope. He's still offering something to Cain. I see it each time God speaks to Cain and he says, but Cain. And Cain walks further away. And the next time, but Cain. And one more time. And then you'll notice some of your Bibles end the section with verse 15. I believe it ends with verse 16. Because verse 16 says, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. It doesn't say God cast him out of the presence, but Cain just kept going. Even after all of these interactions, Cain just keeps going. That's tragic. This is the tragedy of this section. And I almost don't want to leave it there, but really, until the very end of chapter 4, it just continues this tragedy because it's Cain's descendants. And there is no interaction with God after this. They were cast out of the garden.
But then the land of Nod was east of there. So, I mean, geographically, the Cain's descendants and Adam and Eve and Seth, did they have any perhaps interactions in those first years?
I think it's likely. We might touch on that next time. Because really, the next half of the chapter, Cain's descendants, there's some intriguing things in the next part of this. Yes, Joe?
You know, my unbelieving friends used to get in these arguments with me and say, yeah, well, you know, where did Cain get his blood? Let me tell you, I think I know this answer. If God can raise me out of dust, why couldn't he raise another life?
Well, it's pa. There really are, and the possibilities kind of abound. And again, the scriptures don't give us too much of a clue. But I will say this, just off of that, and we didn't talk about it today. But the Hebrew and the Greek and a number of commentators, including John Calvin, lean towards Cain and Abel being twins. Okay, and in a sense, if you think about it, the scriptures normally do not talk about the birth of daughters. It tends to talk about the birth of sons. And so it's very possible that Adam and Eve could have had other children, and they could have had twins, triplets, and could have had a number of daughters at any given time. Not any given time, but, you know, spread out.
The Amplified Version says, Cain knew his wife, one of Adam's descendants.
So okay.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, even in Abraham, he married the half-sister.
Yes. Yes, yes. So what I really want to leave you with is just this sense of the God's reaching out to the human race, even in our untoward condition. I mean, it didn't, in a sense, and again, we've talked about this, and the scripture says it, Jesus is himself. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't show up 2,000 years ago and say, okay, now I've decided to be kind and reaching out to the human race. The incarnation was the manifestation of it on earth that brought our redemption. But God's character didn't change when Jesus came on the scene.
Yeah.
It's there in the scriptures, and you see it in God's interaction with Cain.
Yes.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God reaches out to us in our untoward condition. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And we just thank you that that really is true of all of us, that you reach out to us in our untoward condition when we want to go away from you. When we are sour, when we are rebellious, you are seeking us. You are longing after us. And we thank you for the grace released by Messiah's atonement, that we become receptive in a way that Cain was not. That we receive from you this grace and this atonement. Thank you for that tremendous grace that has enabled us to say yes to you. In a sense, to turn around and head back towards God.
Yes.
Rather than going further away from your presence, but turning and going into your presence. So we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes, Don.